This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
You can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade, or at least grab an extra latte. After getting a Chime checking account with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, no minimum balance requirements, and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime. Feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Time for another edition of Thursday Coast with the founder of the largest online progressive community, dailycoast.com, the founder of Civics with a Q, and the host of the ever popular podcast, The Brief. Marcos Melitzas joins us once again on this Thursday. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing great, Mark. Always a pleasure.
And a pleasure to have you. So the New York Times now even reporting that Joe Biden is urging Joe Biden to stop it now, to stop the war in Gaza. And I'll admit that's perhaps a little unfair. People think that Biden can literally stop it. Not too sure about that. But as I've said to you and others ad nauseum, I'm very concerned about this, what it might do in November. You're not as, obviously not as you've expressed, you're not as concerned about it as I am and maybe others are. But I still keep having 1980 flashbacks, if not 1968. Of course, I wasn't born yet, but I was an infant. But if you're the White House and you're looking at even the slightest hint that this might cost a percentage point or two in a couple of states, what do you do, Marcos? He literally can't say, okay, all this halts. Netanyahu is going to do what he wants to do. What does Biden do? Does he say we're going to limit arms? Does he say we're going to do sanctions? I told Marcos I was going to put him on the spot. You're in Oval Office, Marcos. How do you distance yourself from this? And the Central Kitchen piece just has added to the tragedy and the overwhelming anti-war sentiment.
Yeah, I still don't see, and I look in data. I look at the polling, both public polling and my own polling at Civics. I'm looking for the thing that would be warning signs, and I still haven't seen it. So my concern about Gaza and Israel is really not electoral. It's about Gaza and Israel. It's about both people in both places. And Biden has no control. It's clear. We've seen story after story about Biden sending signals to back off, to negotiate. There are real active negotiations taking place in the Middle East. And the problem is that Bibi is out of control, doesn't listen to anybody, doesn't give a damn, and would much rather have Donald Trump in the Oval Office than Joe Biden. In fact, I actually wouldn't be surprised if Bibi isn't actively trying to figure out ways to undermine Joe Biden and harm Joe Biden. And I think a lot of that happens in the negotiations. Now, I think both sides are being absolutely obtuse on negotiations. Hamas is a terrorist organization. They created this crisis with a heinous terrorist attack, and they still refuse to negotiate the release of Israeli hostages. Not to mention that they, unlike most of Israel's neighbors, like Jordan and Egypt and much of the Arab world, Hamas refuses to recognize Israel's right to exist. So these are all real realities. I look at what's going on in the Middle East, and it's not about being pro-Gaza, pro-Israel, or anti-either. It's they're both obtuse. And the problem is Israel's leadership and Hamas leadership. So I don't know where you go from that when both sides are dead set on each other's destruction. But it's very clear that Joe Biden doesn't have a say. So then I guess your question then becomes, what can Biden do with Bibi? And for one, the abstention at the United Nations was a real shot across the bow of the Israeli government. Israel has depended on the American veto shield at the Security Council forever. And that has suddenly disappeared. And the Europeans also followed suit. So suddenly Israel's allies are backing away little by little. The World Kitchen disaster just exacerbates that. It puts Israel in an incredibly untenuous position where they're starting to achieve pariah status. And it's really one man, it's Bibi, and it's that government. And to be very clear, I think if there was an election in Gaza, I think Hamas loses. And if there was an election in Israel, Bibi loses. These are not, I don't think they are representative of their people. And this is a fundamental problem. So it's not an Israel, a Gaza, it's a Hamas and a Bibi problem. And I don't know where to go from there. Part of the problem with the whole pull the arms purchases is that it's actually missiles for Iron Dome. It's actually protecting Israeli civilians against Hamas rockets and Hezbollah too from Lebanon. I actually think defensive weapons are fine. But that said, it's that diplomatic cover, I think that's an actual big deal. And also signals to the rest of the world that the opening is there for harsher consequences. Maybe not from the U.S. And the political calculations in the U.S. are actually very complicated, but a lot of the world, it's not. So by removing that diplomatic shield, it opens up Israel to a lot more potential sanctions from other countries. And I don't understand, Mark, I'm not a student of internal Israeli politics. I can't sit there and speculate. But to me, if I'm that war cabinet in Israel, and I'm starting to see world complete, go from universal world support after the October 7th attacks to where they are now, I don't see how they think that they can continue and actually benefit the Israeli state. I do believe in Israel's right to exist. I support the Israeli people, just like I support the Gazan populace, the right to exist, the right to live peacefully. And there has to be a course correction. It's a leadership one. And right now, both sides are so dug in. I don't understand why.
So just in other words, I want to lift this up because this is very interesting, folks. This article in the New York Times, Stop It Now, the headline, Joe Biden privately urges an end to conflict in Gaza. I don't want to lift up one anecdote that's shared in this. You might find this interesting too, Marcos. A person, and it speaks to her, it says Dr. Joe Biden has been against American involvement in overseas conflicts in the past, partly because Beau Biden, the eldest son of Mr. Biden, had enlisted in the Delaware Army National Guard in 2003. And was deployed to Iraq in 2008. A person who attended a White House function during the winter of 2022 was surprised, I'm reading from the New York Times article, folks, was surprised at the First Lady's emotional response to someone praising the legacy of George W. Bush. This is in the White House. Quote, "He sent my son to war," end quote. Dr. Biden replied angrily, a reference to Beau, whom she had raised since childhood. And she repeated herself, quote, "He sent my son to war." I've not heard that story before. It's interesting that she would say that even in the White House. Secondarily, the article also mentions that Chris Coons is calling for there to be limits to military aid to Israel, or at least conditions on that military aid. And that's his successor in the Senate in Delaware. And again, I don't know how that works. First of all, I think a lot of the military support they have there is there. So it's not like that you can take that back. And they probably have a significant enough amount to still sustain this, what they're doing. But nevertheless, is interesting. And after the Central Kitchen, there's a growing piece. Folks, hear what Marcos is saying, though. Marcos has always been very sober in these analyses. Most of us aren't sober. So we perceive, oh, we're going to lose and this is terrible and there's all these uncommitted voters. He's saying he doesn't see that. Yet, obviously, we all still want, as he said, this something has to be done and this has to stop. But on the uncommitted, Marcos, even with those, I think you've said this before. I just want to recap this. The number of uncommitted voters in these Democratic primaries is not that much different from the usual number of uncommitted you get.
No. Yeah. And Mark, you're in New York. So you saw the effort to cast blank ballots as a protest, right? There was a whole movement in New York to, in the Democratic primary, if they cast a blank ballot, that would be a sign of disapproval on Gaza. You're familiar with that, right? Yeah. And they declared victory afterwards with 40,000 people cast blank ballots. Went back and looked. In 2020, 120,000 people cast blank ballots. This is all within the historic. Now, what happened in 2020? A lot more people voted because Bernie Sanders and was on the ballot. And I don't remember if, I don't think things were competitive in a Democratic primary in New York that year, but maybe they were. I don't remember. But there was more action going on. This year, you have an incumbent president. Turnout was significantly lower. Yeah, a bunch of people voted, cast empty ballots, but who knows why? Why did they cast empty ballots in 2020? Because they don't know how to read the ballot properly, because they're bored, because they're, I don't know, protesting a million different possible things, such as I don't like any of the candidates on the ballot. Who knows, right? Who knows? But there's this sort of effort to cast every blank ballot or any uncommitted ballot as relevant to the conflict in Gaza. And quite frankly, it's either aligned with historical norms or like this, like New York, dramatically lower, a lot lower. So I just can't. I'm keeping an eye on it. Don't trust me, Mark. I would not be doing my job if I wasn't keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, and I know I'm probably enabling you with some of that. I'm worrying you to death about it. Don't want.
Oh, it's important.
But I'm going to say this though. I'm going to challenge all of us, including you and the journalists at Daily Coast. I think 1980 is the better analogy than 1968. They're similar in that both Democrats lost or one had to drop out. I think we'd all do well, and maybe this can be our homework for the next time we all gather and make it plain, to see where the numbers were in 1980 with the hostage crisis. Remember, there was even a time during the hostage crisis, late, the Iranian hostage crisis, believe it or not, folks, where Carter had a slight lead. It wasn't like it was over this time, 1980, because it was still early. This is, April? I think that's a good gauge to see how these things metastasize and attach themselves to the situation. So we probably do well. It might be a good exercise historically to go back and take a look at that. All right, moving on. Truth Social. You addressed that this week.
Oh, man.
Okay, can you help us make some sense out of that?
Oh, my God. The Truth Social, yeah. Truth Social stock has been tanking. It's still elevated, but it's been tanking as they release their first Wall Street quarterly report. And Mark, this thing, the company's valued right now. I don't know what it's valued at this moment. I haven't looked today, but it was valued around $8 billion after it lost 25% of its value. It's valued at $8 billion. Mark, this thing had $4 million in revenue last year. $4 million in revenue. Valued at $8 billion. If that's the new valuation, Daily Coast is valued at about $30 billion. Did you know I'm a multi-billionaire? Did you know?
Pretty hey, man. Stuff. Hey, let's do it. I got some plans for that money, too.
Hey. I want some of that Truth Social valuation. The reality is, so Trump's stake in that is worth
it. Pause right there for a minute. How does it get that? How did that happen?
It's what's called now a meme stock, right? So it's MAGA fans buying. Now, here's the thing, though. The float, which is the amount of shares that could be bought by the public, is actually very small. And that's what drives the price up. So Trump's stake right now is worth $5 billion. If he tried to dump some of that, it would collapse the price because there just aren't that many people wanting to buy this. So the scarcity is what drives up the price. But I went through this filing, Mark. And so a couple of things. So Trump owns, I think, 56% is what it said, 56%. If a individual owns more than 50% of the stock, certain protections for shareholders do not apply. And so this filing basically states it. Like Donald Trump Jr. is on the board. Linda McMahon, who ran for Senate and lost a bunch of times, is on the board. Big Trump P. It basically tells you, you are not protected. Two, the report literally says they cannot afford to pay their debts. It literally says that because their interest payments on loans that they have over $50 million in loans is higher than what they are bringing in revenue. Now you're wondering, wait, what loans? They just went public. Usually when a company goes public, they sell a certain percentage of the shares to put back into the business. So in this case, you'd think they would use that to pay off the loans, build up a fund, add some cash in the bank to fund future expansion. But they did none of that. Why? My theory is, one, because it might push Donald Trump under 50%. And suddenly, shareholders are protected. But two, Donald Trump has built an entire career of over-leveraging and then declaring bankruptcy. I think this is a play here, is borrow. He's going to try to cash out as much as he can. And it'll probably be a big number of people as the, you know, price craters. He'll still come out of it with a big chunk. And then declare bankruptcy, and you don't care about anybody he burns. So there's nothing in this filing that's literally, there's a whole section that says, we don't use traditional metrics like numbers of users to gauge the value of our business. If you're a social media company, the number of users is literally the only thing that matters. And they literally say, we don't track that because we value ourselves differently. Then they have a whole section where they say they're not even going to spend money on marketing because they're going to build it on vibes. Then Devin Nunes Farmer, who suddenly is in charge of, he's getting paid $750,000 to bring in $3 million, $4 million in revenue. And he just got paid this year a $600,000 retention bonus because I'm sure he had some other job that was going to pay him $750,000. And so the top three executives in the company are making $3.2 million this year combined when they brought in $4 million in revenue last year. Everything in that, literally everything in that report screamed, this is a grift. Who are the suckers who are going to buy into this thing? And then we're going to leave them high and dry. I'm telling you, the thing about there are no shareholder protections, it was like in the report, like six different times. It was actually, I was cackling. I was laughing so hard. This thing was, so in some ways, Mark, if they want to bankrupt their own people, I don't know if I hate the idea, but it's not like they're not warned. It is an absolute grift, and there's literally nothing there. It is absolutely pathetic.
Save a little more this month. Chime checking accounts have features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. Banking services and debit card provided by Bancorp, Bank NA, or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And he's suing the co-founders.
Oh, they're all suing each other on top of everything else. Because they're all horrible people. And this goes to my theory that if Donald Trump loses in November, that the MAGA movement will turn on itself because they're all horrible grifters and they all hate each other and they all want to be the top grift. And they'll just go sue each other into oblivion. Because you see it all the time. Like you're seeing it there.
Unbelievable.
And yeah. Trump's filing basically says that the court should strip the founders of their shares because they didn't do a good job. And that's not how it works. You have a contract. The contract is the contract. If the contract says they started the company and they own X number of shares, you're stuck with it. But
As if he's not in court enough. Like he needs another court controversy.
Yeah, Mark, I have another company Fox, right? I was a co-founder and we had a partner who did nothing and he had a certain percentage of the shares and we're stuck with it. Like, the dude basically robbed us and there's nothing we can do about it. We just suck it up. You made a mistake. Like, I brought this guy in, didn't work out. That's on me.
Right. Interesting. Speaking of court, the judge in the Stormy Daniels hush money case is extended the gag order to include members of his own family. I still just don't get, he's not learned from the Jean Carroll case.
He may even get
dinged on that again. They have a right to come back again if they want to, because he hit her another time.
He hasn't paid a dime to her yet, though. That's the problem. He still thinks that he can appeal his way out of this thing. And given Trump's record, he gets out of this shit. He does it. He throws enough lawyers at it and exhausts the legal system, or whoever he's attacking taps out. And that's been his way. So until he actually suffers the consequences, he's running for president to avoid the consequences. That's pretty dramatic. And he has people willing to enable that. It's crazy. So he will do anything possible to avoid consequences. I can't think, has he suffered any consequences ever? I can't think of a single thing.
Never. He's got.
And the dude, had he been smart, would have just kept his mouth shut and just kept enjoying his grift till his death, like running for president with the dumbest thing he ever freaking did.
Yeah, really. And that's what's really amazing. He could have died a faux billionaire celebrity and still would have been invited to every party.
Yeah.
And everybody would have gone to every one of his parties. That ego. Obama, I was there at that White House Correspondents' Dinner when Obama baited him. And maybe Obama actually bears some responsibility for that. Because when you're dealing with someone who's pathological and you bait them, then that's what they're going to do. When we look back on that. But that's why he ran. I was there in the room. And, you know, the interesting thing is that's usually the way it works. And as a matter of fact, he could have even maybe gone back to another life. Because one thing we've learned historically about elected officials and people who seek elected office, when they get into legal trouble, when you send the legal system the signal that you're not going to be in public office anymore and you're going to let it go, then a lot of times the legal stuff just goes away.
Mm-hmm.
How many charges have we seen dropped on the day when an elected official resigns or shuts down their reelection? That's kind of an understanding in American jurisprudence. But he just is going to keep going and he's going to be nonstop. So moving on, because I want to get something else. Florida. You always say Florida breaks our heart. But might actually not this time, right? We've got Roe on the ballot, man. Might that help us?
That was the topic of this week's edition of Daily Coast, a brief podcast. And I will pour a little cold water on that. In 2008, Barack Obama won Florida by 3.5 points in 2008. And at the time, Democrats had a 700,000 voter registration advantage over Republicans in 2008. Today, 2024, Republicans have an 800,000 voter registration advantage. It's different. The state has been trending pretty hard against us. If we win Florida, and I'm not saying we can't win Florida in the landslide, right? But if we won Florida, we won North Carolina, we won Ohio, we won Iowa. Like, we're headed towards 400 electoral votes. It's very difficult to see how Florida actually is a determinant factor. I would love Florida. I said, I would love Florida to come in for Biden, and then I can have an early night. And then my co-host, Carrie, said, no, you're not. You'd be partying all night. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm going to be partying all night. So either way, I'm not going to bed early. But here's why it matters, though. It matters for a couple of reasons. One is we have a competitive Senate race in Florida. So the closer it is at the top, the more potential party splitters we may have in the Senate race. Powell.
McCarthy,
yeah. She's a fantastic candidate, and Rick Scott's not very popular. He's like a Ted Cruz of Florida, right? He's never gotten 50% of the vote. He's never won by more than 1.5 points. He lacks any sort of charisma. 2 years ago, he released his plan for America and it called for ending Social Security. There's so much to work with him. And so we can get, if the top of the ticket, if Trump wins by 10 points, she doesn't have a chance. Like, it's just too much of a gap. If Trump wins by 5, yeah, that's within the realm of possibility at that point. You don't need that many party splitters. So it's important for the Senate race. We don't have a lot of Senate pickup opportunities. So that's a big one. Number two, it's important because of the abortion amendment itself, right? That matters. Having Florida women, Florida people in general, having a right to make their reproductive choices, that matters. But third, and this is a big one, Florida's a very expensive state. The Trump campaign is essentially broke. Even now they're bragging about they're gonna raise $40 million at a fundraiser, but a chunk of that money is going to his super PAC. And what is the super PAC spending literally all of its money on? His legal bills. So big fundraiser for his legal bills. Congratulations. His campaign is essentially broke. It's so broke that he had a rally scheduled for Arizona. It might have been two rallies in Arizona last week, and he had to cancel them because they were broke. They don't have money. And so he spent the weekend golfing instead. And if Florida, there's no path for, obviously, for Trump to win, for any Republicans to win, if they don't win Florida. So if Biden starts spending some money and you start seeing some movement in Florida, Biden's got money to spare. It could force Trump to make a really difficult decision, his campaign, right? Do we spend money in Florida, which is incredibly expensive, to protect our flanks? Or do we just hope, cross our fingers and hope that it's going to be okay, and then we focus on the other battleground states? It's a really tough decision. And either way, we win. If he's spending his money in Florida, great. Then he's not spending money in places where it actually may make a bigger difference, like Ohio. Like Michigan and Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. But if he doesn't, then even if Trump still wins, that margin gets closer, and then we have a better chance of winning the abortion amendment, and we have a better chance of winning that Senate race. And there's also two House races that are competitive in Florida as well, Republican held. So there's a lot on the ballot. There's a lot happening. So this actually matters in ways that aren't just Biden might win Florida. Biden does not need Florida. He wins Florida, we're at 400 electoral votes, and it wasn't close. But there's a lot happening in Florida that matters. So that's what makes me excited. The answer's a little more complicated than the question was, but I think that's always the case when you ask me anything, isn't it?
This is extraordinarily complicated as you described it, and I get that. Let me go back to something else you said. You predict Trump may be angling to file bankruptcy. Just curious, what happens to a campaign if he does that? What does that do in terms of his fundraising and his super PAC? Is any of that affected?
Yeah, no, Mark, this is also a factor with the Letitia James, with the trial in New York. This goes to your point. I'm going to kick this one back to you. His whole shtick is that he's a successful businessman who knows how to cut deals, and he's a celebrity and he's a big deal. He cannot declare bankruptcy. It absolutely shatters the illusion. He cannot. And so even with True Social goes bankrupt, he might be able to keep it at arm's length. Even though he's a majority shareholder with Trump Co in New York, like, he can't. And when it wasn't clear whether he could post bond, when it wasn't clear if he could post bond, one of his options was to declare bankruptcy. And all the sort of reporting said that people inside Trump company basically said, or Trump world said, he would absolutely not declare bankruptcy. And it seems to be like almost a smart play, but the reason he wouldn't is what you've been saying the whole time. It would shatter his illusion.
It would. I would think so. And I think we're seeing it slowly but surely disintegrating. We'll see what all these. Lastly, you wrote about Elon Musk and Tesla, someone else who's becoming an argument with civilization.
Yeah.
And even now, I get an Uber sometimes and it's a Tesla and I feel funny. I'm like, oh, don't get me wrong. Yeah. We need electric cars. I wish all cars were electric, but dude, we got to get past that dude.
I love Teslas. I drive a Tesla. It's my favorite car ever. I've had it now 8 years. I'm not going to upgrade it. I'm not going to change it. Tesla needs to get rid of Elon Musk. Tesla is bigger than Elon Musk. I don't think Elon Musk has even set foot in Tesla headquarters in a year. He's been so fixated on Twitter or X. That's like his obsession. The company deserves like a real CEO. Nobody knows their name. Like, who's a CEO for it? I don't know. I don't care. Who cares? That's what they need. They need somebody who just makes cars, because the cars are great. The charging network is still unparalleled. Nobody else has anything like it. And they're fun cars. But when he sticks his face in it, he got rid of the stocks, like steering wheel stocks in the cars. There's no left turn, right turn, or turn on the windshield wipers, or set cruise control, or set the car on park in reverse. Like, it's all done either with like buttons on the steering wheel or on the touchscreen. People hate it. I would not, and I'm not in the market for a new car. My car is great, and I'm going to drive this thing to the ground. So it's not like I would upgrade if I could. But if I wanted to upgrade, I would not buy a Tesla right now, because I like my steering wheel stocks. It's just simple things like that. But he gets in his head that he knows better than anybody else. And for example, for a year, the high-end Teslas, they had what's called the yoke, like steering race cars. It's not the round steering wheel. It's like left and right. And he put those in there because he thought it was cool. And again, people hate them. Now, of course, some people are like, you know what? I got used to it. You don't need to be getting used to something like that. If I took my partner and said, let's get a car, and she is going to be in the market for an electric car within the next couple of years, and she got in a car and there was a yoke on it or no stocks, no way. She just ain't going to want to buy that car. This is what he's done to Tesla. So Tesla sales went off a cliff. They're down 15% this last quarter. Tesla stock is the second worst performing stock in the Fortune, not Fortune 500, the 500 index. I forget what it's called, the Dow Jones. And between that, and then his war against California and woke, and which is his actual buyers. He's literally going to war on Twitter X against the people who buy his cars. Who's buying his cars? It ain't people in Alabama and Mississippi, and they're rolling coal, right? They're anti-electric cars. They think global warming's a hoax. They think electric vehicles are for wimps, whatever, right? That's not the people. His incel, edgelord, loser, right-wing, QAnon nuts aren't buying Teslas. It's people like me and you, Mark. And are we going to, I'm looking for a bumper sticker that says, I bought this car before Elon Musk was an asshole, right? Or something. And because, when I bought it, he was like a progressive hero. Like, he wanted to move us over to a carbon neutral society, and something broke. The pandemic broke him. And it's fundamentally a problem. But here's the thing is that his board, it's just Truth Social. It's not an independent board. And I'm surprised there haven't been shareholder lawsuits. And I bet you now there will be because of these losses. His brother's on the board. An old business associate is on the board. It's all his people. And there needs to be an independent board at Tesla. And I think something's going to happen. There are going to be lawsuits flying. He really needs to step down and go away.
Let's hope so. He needs to let X go, or something else needs to happen with X. I don't know. X.
I mean, that, yeah, that thing may
already be over because so many people.
Death spiral. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Maybe I'd be able to save X at all. How many of you all are even still on X? Every now and then I'll post some, but I just don't do it. And I know you don't either. And few we know still even fool with it. And that's unfortunate. And it's just,
but you know what it did though? It broke me from social media addiction in general. Like I thought I would move to something else. Like once I broke from, like I'll post personal stuff on Instagram and maybe some memes and stuff, but and maybe it's to my detriment because I'm supposed to promote me. But once I got rid of it, because I was obsessed with Twitter. I was obsessed. Like I was on there night and day.
Yeah.
And it's almost a relief. Okay. Let me go play my guitar, my piano back here. Let me do that instead. And yeah, it's a little more healthy, I think.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And the addiction piece is real, y'all. A lot of folks struggling with that. So, yeah, that's important. DailyCoast.com, The Brief, the podcast. Daily Coast, The Brief. CivicsWithAQ.com, as always. Thank you, Betty.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.